Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5 in your Scofield Bible, page 1001, 1001. Starting with verse 42, we'll read responsibly to verse 45. And the 45th verse is the text verse for the morning's message. As we always do, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And let's pray. Father, thank you. You've given us this great privilege of being here to sing about thy word, to hear the preaching of your word, and to enjoy this brief time of reading thy word together. That's what it's all about, your word. Thank you. Bless thy word as it's preached, and help us, please, as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
The other day I sat down. Give me just a tad more volume, please. The other day I sat down and I listed all the preachers that were in my bracket years ago, started off as young preachers. I wrote their names down. Now, I'm sure there were hundreds of them, but I wrote down over 100 names of preachers who started off with my in my wave, if you please, 45, 50 years ago. I went through them one by one. Not a one of them is pastoring still. Some have passed away. Some have resigned and gone into evangelism or Bible conferences or some other ministry. Some have fallen. Some have become ill. I counted 5 who had nervous breakdowns and had to quit the ministry. Just not a one, not a single one is pastoring. That's not my preaching. Not a single one is pastoring of all the men. And I have an idea that if I spent time checking my yearbook in college and other things, I could list at least 300 men in my wave, in my age bracket that were with me fellowshipping years ago. I doubt very seriously if I could find that many still at my age in the pastorate. I can't think of one. I cannot think of one single one who's 73 years old who's still pastoring. I am going to tell you one of the great reasons why. I'm going to speak this morning on this subject, make room for grief. Make room for grief. My text, we read a while ago, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And here's my text, where he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Rain is coming. Whether you're just or unjust, rain is going to come. I hope you'll listen carefully. I honestly believe this morning that I can help you. Our Heavenly Father, I cannot help them without you helping me. Or better still, you cannot help them without me. We need each other. You need me as a voice. I need you to flow through me what you would have the people hear. I pray you'd give me those thoughts and words. Do in the next few minutes something real and special in our lives. Amen. It is now 11:42. This is a statement that I always make on Lord's Supper Sunday. I do not want you to think you're going to be here to past 12:30. You will not be here past 12:30. By 12:10, I will have finished my sermon, perhaps before. By 12:30, as always, you'll be on your way. So I want you to sit back and forget the time and listen to what I'm going to say. I prefer sunshine over clouds. I prefer a clear, bright, beautiful day over a rainy day. And it's very interesting. I prepared to bring this message for weeks today. And it's very interesting that this is the first rainy day we've had, or rainy weekend we've had in a long time. I asked God to make it rain this weekend so it would help my message this morning. And after you hear it, you'll know it needs all the help it can get. I like sunny days, but I know rain will come. No doubt about it. Rainy days are going to come. Now, I'm not an umbrella man myself. My wife is an umbrella man. My wife keeps an umbrella in the car all the time. I don't use umbrellas because by the time you get one of those things open, you're soaked already. So I carry a paper. I keep close by all the time some paper so I can put it over my head in case of rain. Now, the truth is, as I said, Ms. House keeps an umbrella, and I have a couple of all-weather coats or raincoats, and I have a water-repellent hat and so forth. Now, that's not because I plan rain. It's not because I want a rainy day. It's because I know they are going to come. Suffering is inevitable for human beings. Look at me and listen to me now. Suffering is inevitable for human beings. There's no way to avoid it. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. And the next time you decide to criticize somebody and say God's punishing them, let me remind you the same rain falls on the just that falls on the unjust. And suffering is not always a sign of God's chastening hand or God's rod. Grief is inevitable for human beings. Problems are inevitable for human beings. Failing is inevitable for human beings. Not failure, but failing. Now, one of my mottos is this. I make no provision for failure. I do make provision for failings. Failure is a final word. Failings are simply steps to success. So I make no provision for failure, but I do make provision for failings. Another motto I have, I expect rain, but not today. I expect rain, but not today. So, follow me carefully, I let there be room for all of these things to happen in my life. I make room for grief. I know it's going to come. I make room for it. So it doesn't destroy me when it comes. I make room in my life for misery. I know misery is going to come. It's the first Saturday night of each month. It's called Deacon's Meeting. I know it's going to come. I know that misery is going to come to my life, so it does not surprise me or find me unprepared because I have made room in my life for misery. I have made room in my life for faults. I know that I'm not perfect. I think I will be soon, and I'm almost there. But I know I'm not perfect. I have faults. So I make room in my life for faults. So when I make a mistake, I try to correct it, but it does not destroy me because I make room in my life for faults. I make room in my life, don't miss this one, I make room in my life for disappointments in people. I know that people are going to disappoint me, for I disappoint myself. So I make room in my life for this people disappoint me, so I will not be destroyed when people do disappoint me. Illustration. I know I'll preach a bad sermon someday. I know that the day's going to come. It never has yet, but the day's going to come. No, I've laid some eggs big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs from. I was out in Southern California a few years ago. I tell you, I was like the old preacher, went home, wouldn't eat lunch on Sunday. And his wife said, "Why aren't you eating?" He said, "Because I can't preach and I don't know anybody that can." And every one of you guys have been there. I've heard you. You've been there. You've laid an egg. And the truth is, Brother Owens, you've laid a whole dozen or two at a time. But you've laid an egg. Now, so what happens? When I was in Southern California, I preached a terrible sermon. I didn't even want to shake hands. I went and locked myself in the men's washroom for an hour, and then looked out to see if all the cars were going out of the parking lot. And when the cars were all gone, I snuck home. I didn't even wait for my driver. I walked home, back to the motel room, because I was ashamed to shake hands with anybody. But I expect to fail sometimes. I know there are going to come times when I'm not going to preach a sermon that is what I wish it were. So I make room for that, so it doesn't destroy me. I go back to my room, and I preached over 66,000 sermons, and some of those sermons in which I've been disappointed. I go back to my room, I look in the mirror, and I say, you didn't do very well tonight. I always hold my hand up like that and say, boy, we'll get them tomorrow night. It doesn't destroy me. Why? Because I make room for grief. I make room for heartache. I make room in my life for failing. As much as I fly, I know some flights will be canceled. I can see up there now on that little screen in the airport, flight so-and-so canceled. I know it's going to happen. So I don't panic when my flights are canceled. Why? I make room in my life. Well, I wish you could get this. I make room in my life for that disappointment. And so if my flight is canceled, I go to the red carpet club, then they get me a desk, and I work, and I say, well, the plane's probably going to crash anyway, and so I'm glad I'm not on it. Now, I'm trying to tell you folks why I haven't cracked up through these years, and I'm trying to tell you why a lot of folks do crack up, because they don't make room for negatives. Life is not all positive. Life is not all sunshine. Life is not all clear days. Life is not all gorgeous, bright, beautiful days. There are dark days in life. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, and the wise person makes room for disappointment. When it comes, it'll not shake him. It'll not destroy him. The wise person makes room for grief. For example, I know that every two or three or four years, I'm going to have a little attack of what they call global amnesia. Global amnesia. That means this whole globe up here goes out. That's what it means. I have global amnesia. About once every two or three or four years, I have a little spell where I lose my memory for a while, about maybe, at least the last two or three years at a time. But it lasts about, 4, 5, 6, 8 hours is all. I know it's going to happen. So when it happens, I don't panic. I tell people, wherever I preach, Mrs. McKinney tells them, if Brother Hiles has a little attack while he's preaching, take him to his room. Don't take him to the stupid hospital. They charge him $5,000 for taking pictures. I already know what it looks like up there. I've seen it. I'm not walking around all the time, my soul, what will happen? Why? I have made room in my life for my loss of memory that comes occasionally, my global amnesia. As a pastor of this great church, the largest congregation in America, as a pastor of this great church, I know I will be attacked someday. Why? Because I'm highly visible. I mean, pastor of the largest church in America, I'm highly visible. And so because I am, I make a good target. And so I know I'll be attacked. So I have made room. And are you listening to me? I have made room in my life for attacks. So when somebody attacks me, I don't enjoy it, but it does not destroy me. I don't panic. I don't have a nervous breakdown. I just TP their house and split their tires. That's all I do. I'm simply saying, I have made room in my life for attacks and enemies. I know that they are going to come. Now let me give you this one. Old age didn't destroy me. I'm enjoying it. Now, being married to an old woman is a problem, but the couch fits me pretty well anyway, and buying lunch out of a vending machine is no. We Mrs. Howe, same way. I mean, old age hasn't thrown us. I'm 73. It hasn't thrown me. You know why? I made room for it. I knew it was coming, so I made room for it. And so because of that, I feel as good as I felt when I was 72 and a half. I'm enjoying old age. Why? Because I made room for it. People come to me.
a dozen people who come to me in the last 6 months. Brother Hiles, I'm about to reach 40. Cindy was not one of them. But I'm about to reach 40. Oh, Brother Hiles, I'm reaching 40. You reach 70, brother, you really are going to, but not me. Because I did not panic when I got old, because I made room for old age in my life. For example, when you criticize me, I don't panic. I expect every one of you to criticize me sometime because you're a bunch of stinking critics. That's what you are. But I expect that. I mean, look, you're human. You can look at your watch sometime, and you're going to say, when in the world is that fella going to find the landing strip? And you're going to say, he shouldn't have called down those teenagers like he did this morning. And you're going to say, he embarrassed that usher back. I don't see that. And I understand. I'm human. I make mistakes. You're human, and you sometimes are critical, and just like I am. And I have made room for that, so I don't scratch you off my list when I find out that you criticize me. I give you leeway. I've given room in my life for being criticized. I've given you room to criticize me. So I'm not going to think that you're my enemy because you criticize me, nor am I going to panic. Why? I call it hanging loose. I love that term. Just hang loose. So I'm trying to say this morning, the rain is going to come. It's going to come on the best Christian here. As much as it's going to come on the poor Christian, we walk out a while ago, after a while, if it's raining outside, we walk out. Just because you're a red-hot Christian doesn't mean you're not going to get soaking wet. You're going to get just as wet as the alcoholic is this morning. You're going to get, I don't care if you're a sinner worse than Roy Moffitt, you're still going to, they'll get wet just like you, and you'll get wet like them. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, we fantasize ourselves through life, and because we fantasize ourselves through life, when reality comes, we cannot face reality. When you're drawing a picture of your future, ladies and gentlemen, add some dark spots there. They're going to come, and make room for them in your life so they won't throw you and cause you to panic and be self-destructive. You engage couples. May I give you some advice? There will be hard times in your marriage. His feet are going to stink at night, and his breath is going to stink in the morning. Make room for that. I can't wait to get married. We're going to just live in heaven. No, you're going to visit purgatory once in a while. And you might even fall down to it. But anyway, the honest truth is, look at life. You are human and he is human. That means you will make mistakes and he will make mistakes. That means that there'll be dark. Rain's going to fall on the good Christian couple as well as on the bad Christian couple. Make room in your life for reality, because fantasy never makes room for reality. And because of that, you end up disenchanted. Don't be disenchanted. It's wonderful to be married. I've been married 54 years. I wouldn't trade it for the whole world. I love it, but make room for some negatives. So you won't panic, self-destruct, when the negatives come. Young lady dreams of marriage. She fantasizes. This is the way it's going to be. But it happens, but she does not put in reality in fantasy, because fantasy never includes reality. But marriage does. So, she gets tired of the fella. He's not what I thought he was going to be. Listen, then before you get married, you think what he is going to be. Don't think what you think it is. And by the way, and don't you think whatever other marriages look like, because you only see them in public. Now, you expect some clouds. You expect some bad days. Listen to me. You expect some tough times, and that way you won't run back to mother when those tough times come, and you are the disenchanted because you weren't enchanted with perfection in your marriage. You're enchanted with reality in your marriage. So you divorce him. Because he did not meet your expectations. Ah, but there's a fella in the bowling league. Boy, he's exactly what I've always wanted. And so you have divorced number one to marry number two. And you find out number two has the same stinking feet number one had. And you find out number two, reality sets in because you have drawn yourself a picture that did not include negatives. It did not include disappointments. It did not include disenchantment. And because of that, you divorce number two, and there's another guy you found at work, and boy, he meets all the things. I wouldn't even suggest you make a list of things you want in a wife or a husband. You make a list of things you're going to be as a wife or a husband, and you ask God to give you his choice, not so they can serve you, but so you can serve them. And let me tell you something. There are people in this room right now having marriages that are about to break up, and the reason you are is you never included negatives. You never included cloudy days. You never included rainy days. They're going to come. Make room for the negatives. Young preacher goes to pastor a church. You young preachers, listen to them. Oh, I can't wait. I want my people. There's some of them you won't want when you get them. They're called deacons. I want my people. I want my people. Boy, I can't wait to get out there and pastor. But in your mind, you do not make any room at all for church trouble. You make no room at all for clouds. You make no room at all for rain. So you get out there and you find out that your fantasy was not realized, or your fantasy didn't include that longhorn deacon's going to cause you trouble. And so you resign the church. You take another one. And that same longhorn deacon that you left is reincarnated in another body, and he meets you on the front steps of the church where you go. Now you listen to me. I know that there are people in this church that sometimes are disenchanted with me, and I know that some folks are going to get upset, and some folks even leave the church, but bless your heart, I made room for that a long time ago. And that's one reason why when I walk in this pulpit, I'm on top side. I've made room for grief. I've made room for disappointments. I've made room for negatives. I've made room for trials. I've made room for tears. Why? Because they're going to come. Don't let your life be shattered because your dreams are shattered. You include in your dreams some shatterproof material, such as reality. I fought my share of battles. I never wanted one. But I made room for them, and I'm still here. Those three words are the miracle of my life. I'm still here. Why am I here? Because I made room for battles. I've had my share of heartbreak. I mean that. I've had my share of heartbreak. But why am I still here? Why am I still preaching? Why am I still encouraging you? I'll tell you why. I made room for heartbreak in my life. So when it came, there was a place for it. It didn't surprise me. It didn't shock me. I knew it was going to come. I've had my share of disappointments. I go back to an old story. It's the kind that ought to be told often. One of the great secrets and one of the great days of my life. Dr. John Rice and I traveled together for 22 years, as you know. Over 2,200 times we sat side by side on platforms around the world and across America. We were in a conference in Boise, Idaho. Dr. John Rice, Dr. Bill Rice, his brother, and I in Boise, Idaho. Don't miss the story. If you heard it, you want to hear it again. If you haven't heard it, you ought to hear it. We had two conferences going on at one time, one in Twin Falls, Idaho, and one in Boise. Boise was the bigger of the two, so two of us would speak one night and one day and night in Boise while one of us would speak in Twin Falls. And the next night, we'd switch. We closed the conference in Boise. Dr. Bill Rice was in Twin Falls closing out there, and Dr. Rice and I caught a plane in Boise. And to fly home to Chicago, we had to fly through Twin Falls. Our plane stopped there. And Dr. Bill Rice joined us there in Twin Falls. It just so happened that the church in Twin Falls was pastored by the husband of Dr. Rice's oldest daughter, Grace. Grace was 45 at the time. She's in heaven now. I preached her funeral. She's in heaven now. She's 45 at the time. I'm sorry, Dr. John, Dr. Rice. No, Dr. John Rice was in Twin Falls. Dr. Bill and I picked him up there in the plane, and he came aboard the plane. I looked out the window, and there was the gate, and there was Dr. Rice standing with his daughter Grace. Now, boys, Twin Falls, Idaho is a long ways from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I knew that Dr. Rice probably wouldn't see her for many months and maybe for a year. I watched him at the gate as he said goodbye to Grace. He kissed her on the lips, waved goodbye, didn't shed a tear. Got on the plane, sat down beside me. She was out there waving. He picked up a paper and started reading it. I was shocked. Man, I'd have been boo-hooing all that plane. They'd had to bring me a barf bag. I mean, I couldn't believe it. There's his oldest daughter there. He's saying goodbye to her. She lives many hundreds and hundreds of miles, maybe a couple thousand miles from him. He's sitting there reading the paper, and there she is waving goodbye. And I said, Dr. Rice, how could you do that? He said, what? You know, he had a eye problem. He'd take his glasses off and look like that and look like that. He said, how? I said, Dr. Rice, that's your oldest daughter. You may not see her for months. You kissed her goodbye, walked on the plane, never shed a tear. You're sitting down reading the paper. And the wise old man took off his glasses and looked at me like that. And he said, Dr. Hiles, 45 years ago, I held a little baby in my arms. That little baby is right out there right now. 45 years ago, I started preparing for this moment. You will never hear better advice in your life. 45 years ago, I started preparing for this moment. What was he saying? I made room for it. I made room in my... And that's why you panic. And that's why you have your nervous breakdowns. And that's why you crack up. You know why? Because you never have looked at life like it is and said, life is not all fantasy. There is reality. Life is not all sunshine. There are clouds. And you haven't made room for them. So when they came, they had to bust their way in, break their way in. You weren't ready for it. And you panicked and you cracked up. And that's why my preacher friends aren't still pastoring churches. And that's why many of them have decided to leave the pastorate. Why? Because they did not stop and make room for old age, make room for battles, make room for heartaches, make room for problems. In your life, be sure you realize it's going to rain. Get you an umbrella. Get your top coat. Get you a paper to put over your head. Get you a raincoat. Rain's going to come and troubles are going to come. Don't want them, but realize they are going to come. When they do come, it'll not destroy you. Your life, your hope, your plans, or your dreams. Make room for grief. Stop where you are. You stop and realize it's going to come. And when it does come, I'll have room reserved for it. I'll have a place to put it. I'll accept it. It'll not destroy me. I'll keep on going for God because I made room for grief. Would you bow your heads, please?